Welcome to VGK Today, presented by BetMGM, where we give you an inside look at the Vegas Golden Knights 2024 Stanley Cup playoff run. I'm Justin Russo with the Golden Knights on Friday, April 26th, with the VGK preparing for Saturday's Game 3 against the Dallas Stars at T-Mobile Arena. After taking both games in Dallas to start the series, Vegas has a 2-0 lead over the Stars and an opportunity to put a stranglehold on the series on home ice Saturday. On today's episode, Gary Lawless joins us and takes us through how things are moving along for Vegas both on and off the ice this postseason. Later on, he'll chat with VGK President and CEO Kerry Buchholz about the business side of the playoffs and some exciting things coming for fans on Saturday night. But first, he catches up with Alex Pietrangelo, whose return has helped Vegas solidify their defensive game and jump out to that 2-0 series lead. After the break, we'll go right to that conversation between Gary and Alex.
Vegas! On behalf of Knock the Injury Law, Golden Pipes, Carnell Johnson.
If you've been hurt, Knock the is the word, call 702.
Vahan Nakvi with Nakvi Injury Law. Imagine you've been injured in an accident. Now, do you want an assembly line law firm that treats you like a number and settles early for easy money? Hell no. Call me now for a free consultation at 702-INJURED.
Hello, I am Kerry Buchholz, President and CEO for your Vegas Golden Knights. I am a proud board member of the Nevada Donor Network Foundation. With over 600 Nevadans waiting for a life-saving organ transplant, we can all do our part to bring hope to those waiting. I am partnering with Nevada Donor Network to raise awareness about registering to be a hero. I am a registered organ, eye, and tissue donor, and proud Nevadan. Are you? Join us at wearenevadans.org.
Alex, team up 2-0. What did you like or not like about your game so far?
I think it's been a bit of a feeling out process for both teams. What do I like? We haven't played our best game. We're up 2-0. I mean, good teams find a way to win, right? I think the important thing for us is, some of us have missed some time coming back in. Some guys haven't even played together. So getting back up to speed hasn't really been an issue, but I'm sure I'm not going to speak for the other guys, but it always takes a couple games to kind of get your feet underneath you and feel comfortable with the puck. So, again, LT's played great for us. That's a big thing for us. Kept us in the game there, especially in the third. But you got to like it when we're going up and down the line of four lines. And we're playing all 60. You're playing all four lines. It's tough to handle when we use our depth like that.
You had a real good team in St. Louis. And up until almost January, where the guys were right near the top of the league, and then COVID and things got real derailed. What can you take from that experience to help this group reach the ultimate goal and repeat?
Well, you're going to get the best, even in the regular season, right? You're going to get the best from everybody every single night. We seem to be the villain right now. Everybody's coming after us, but we don't really look at it like that. We feel like, we got in. That's all that really matters. I mean, I've always said you just got to find a way to get into the playoffs and you got to play your best hockey from there. So I think getting everybody back healthy has been a big thing for us. We obviously battled with that all year. That kind of goes back to our depth. And we can use it the way we are. It's a big advantage for us.
I see it. I call it quiet confidence. But there seems to be there's a vibe in your room right now where it's, Marcia so described it the other day. He just said business as usual. We win in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's not easy to flip the switch, but I think our group can do that. And I feel like this time of the year especially, everybody understands what their job is. And I think when you have a group like ours, if everybody just does their job to the best of their ability, we're going to be successful. I mean, if you look up and down the lineup, everybody's got a role. Everybody knows what that is. No one's complaining about it. And that's where that business as usual kind of comes in.
What are you guys talking about in the dressing room right now?
I think we just keep doing what we're doing. I mean, we know we need to be better. I've said that a lot, that we know when we're good, but we know when we're not, and we can be better. I think everybody in the room knows that we got another level. So coming home is nice, especially with the lead. You get a little bit of energy from the home crowd. Hopefully that gives us a bit of a boost.
Bruce said this morning that he's hearing very positive things on the bench, that you guys understand what you need to be doing and when you need to be tweaking things in game. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I think we have a good mindset, a good feeling out process as players to kind of relay those messages to the coaches of what we see and what they see. Sometimes it's two different things, what we feel and what they see. I think the big thing for us is, like, they're a good team. I mean, they are where they are for a reason. So we know it's not going to be perfect. It's how do you respond from those situations, especially on the road. I thought we've handled it really well, whether following up like we did last night and scoring the next shift, or we've just kind of slowed their momentum down. I think that's been a big thing for us.
You have a whole bunch of critics at home. They like to, your family, they like to dissect your game. What have they said so far, or have the games been on too late for them to watch?
No, they've been staying awake. My son Theo scored his first goal yesterday, so they expected me to get one. So I'm sure when I go home, I'll hear plenty of that.
Where is Theo playing?
They play at CNA with his brother, and it's a fun age, right? They're just starting to get into it. Get a bunch of six-year-old boys. They think they win every game, and dad's not good, and they're the best. So it's a fun age to kind of be a part of it.
What do they like about hockey?
You know what? Probably the same thing I did. I mean, it's just, you know, at that age, you're just trying to play with for the love of the game. And it's no different at that age than at this age. You can just see them meeting the new kids, the camaraderie that they meet with a couple friends on their team, but some kids that they've never met before. And all of a sudden, you know, they become friends and they develop those relationships. And I think that's where sports for kids is really, really important. And, you know, they like watching the games. I mean, I come home, they're playing hockey in the living room, and someone's always Jack, someone's always me. We're the two guys. Someone's always, you know, one of our goalies. So it's fun to see them kind of enjoying the game but living it, you know, through me. And I try and take a step back and enjoy it as well.
What did you think of Theo's shift last night where he had the three shots in a row and it, like, he had a really, it was fantastic play to get there, and then he almost scored.
Well, he's capable of doing that. We've seen that before, right? And I think when he's using his speed and his skating ability with his hockey skill and IQ, I mean, he could do those things. So kind of wish he would have got it in there. It would have been a great play to watch. But I think if you look at the way he can carry the puck up and down the ice, and all of our D, actually, as a group, we've done a really good job of using our feet to the best of our ability.
Power play scored twice in game one, and then the one chance they got last night, the one opportunity you got last night, they were very good, and Stevenson almost scored. The power play looks the best, from my perspective, that it's ever looked in the seven-year history of the team.
Well, I think when you get the big fella in front there, Hertz coming in, that's a guy who's made a really good living doing that. I think that's been a big part of it. Hanny's done a great job at the top. He's kind of clicked with Jack and Stevie up there. Obviously, you put Stoney in there, it's going to help, right? Let's not take that for granted. But I think Hertz has done a really good job. If you look at all the first two goals, I know he scored one, but even Stoney's, I mean, that goalie's got no chance of seeing it. He's a big man. He's tough to move down there.
Legendary Hockey Night in Canada voice, Bob Cole. You would have grown up listening to him. He passed away today. Any memories of Bob Cole?
Bob Cole and Harry Neal. That was my Toronto Maple Leaf growing up. Just remember all those games as a kid. I'll never forget that. It was a voice that you'll never forget. So, you know, sad to see that happen. But he carried a lot of special memories for me and my family.
Saturday at T-Mobile Arena. You know, the last time you played a playoff game there, you won the Stanley Cup. What will it be like to play in front of your home crowd again? And, you know, what's the next step for you guys in this series?
It's always fun playing at home. I think we were a little bit of a bumpy road there in the middle of the season at home, but I think we've kind of figured that out the last, you know, 5-10 games. We played a lot better at home. You know, just like Marchie said, though, it's business as usual. I think you treat every game the same way. Obviously, a little bit of you know, on the road, teams are going to have a little bit more momentum, especially early on in front of their whole crowd. We're no different. We're going to try and use our matchups to our advantage the best that we can.
Thanks, Alex. Hey,
thanks, Gary.
The best time of the year for Alex Pietrangelo playing in postseason hockey. And it's fun to hear how he's got his biggest critics waiting for him at home in his kids, who will always hold him to the highest standard possible when it comes to his play on the ice. Though I will say, things from an outside perspective looking pretty good with a 2-0 lead. though the thing that struck me most about his comments were the things that he said at the beginning of that interview about the team's perspective on their play. That while this team has that 2-0 series lead, he doesn't feel they've put their best foot forward yet in this series. So for the VGK heading into Game 3, certainly not resting on their laurels and making sure that they are constantly building their game to keep up with the Stars. We'll take another short break, and when we come back, Gary Lawless chats with Golden Knights president and CEO Kerry Buchholz. And before we wrap things up, we'll then take a look around the NHL playoffs and pay tribute to the late, great Bob Cole.
Jack Daniels has always made whiskey, and if they have it their way, they always will. But there's one thing Jack can't make more of: moments. Those are on us to create. You see, hockey fans, we only get one shot at this thing called life. So let's make sure we're making the most of every moment, whether it's showing up for our team or sipping a glass of Jack while cheering at the radio. Don't let a single moment go to waste. Make it count. Jack Daniels.
Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniels and Old Number 7 are registered trademarks. Copyright 2022 Jack Daniels. All rights reserved.
Listen up. Your share at winning over $500,000 in free fuel and products is just a tap away with the Terrible Social House app.
Yes!
With a qualifying purchase at the pump or in-store, you can shop, spin, and win directly on your phone. Win free products that you can redeem instantly in-store, or if you're feeling lucky, you could land on free fuel towards your next fill-up. Shop, spin, and win. Download and play today. Terrible's. Deliberately different since 1959. Go to Terrible's.com for more details.
I'm now joined by Golden Knights CEO and President Kerry Buchholz. Kerry, team has been in the playoffs 6 of 7 years. This year started on the road, won 2 games in Dallas. So the team's been away and I've been away. What's the buzz in the city right now about the start of playoff games in Vegas?
Well, I think it's certainly at a really good place. You know, as you think back to past years, obviously it reached a fever point as we got towards the end last season and ultimately culminating with the Stanley Cup championship. But right out of the gate, you can feel the enthusiasm, you can feel the excitement. All the different events that we've had around town have been well attended, and I think fans are really looking forward to Saturday night and getting a chance to see the lineup that we're going to put on ice, which in some instances, certain players hadn't even played together yet, just based on the injuries that took place towards the end of the season. Obviously, the trades of the new players that we brought in during the trade deadline. And so I think there's a lot of enthusiasm and excitement around that, and we can't wait to get it going.
The business of hockey ops gets monitored, you know, like into the minutia. When they move with salary cap and the CBA and all of that, everyone knows what George and Kelly McCrimmon eventually have been up to, and we get to see the team play on the ice. But behind all of that, there's this machine, and you know, you and I are in your office at City National Arena, and there's 100 people or so outside your window that are working feverishly. What happens at this time of year on the business side of the operation?
Well, just like we're trying to make sure that our players elevate their game in terms of what happens on the ice, you know, we want to elevate our game off the ice. And that comes in a lot of different fashions. First of all, this is a really incredible opportunity for the business to really financially change the year because of the way the structure of the playoffs are set up, how the players are compensated during the playoffs versus the regular season, and some of the other costs associated with our business. And so from a pure revenue perspective, the gate revenue or ticketing revenue is a really important piece. And so the elevated opportunity that comes along with that, how we extend our partners into the playoffs, again, is another important opportunity. And then all of the other kind of ancillary revenues that come along with it. When fans come to the Fortress for a game, you know, the food and beverage revenue, the retail revenue, like just every aspect of it, is elevated, and it creates opportunity to continue to generate revenues for the overall financial performance of the organization. And then another really important part of this is we're no longer just the Vegas Golden Knights. We've built a sports enterprise here in the Valley with our 4 facilities, the other 3 teams that we own and operate here in the marketplace. And so it's a terrific platform for us as an organization to make sure that those other facilities and those other teams gain awareness during the heightened and elevated presence that the Vegas Golden Knights have during a playoff run, from media from the media interest and how they follow the teams, to all of the social media and how that gets elevated here in the marketplace. And so that really is an incredible opportunity for our overall enterprise to gain more of a stronghold here in the Las Vegas Valley.
I'm always amazed at a game when I see everything tied together. It's, you know, there's so many details and there's so many people involved, but the organization, it's, you know, 8 years old, because, you know, even though we weren't playing in that first year, right, we were still operating. You would think it's not very experienced. It's incredibly experienced, and people are really good at their jobs.
Yeah, no, we're very fortunate from that perspective. And, you know, kudos to what we've done on the ice. It's allowed us to see what success looks like in a lot of different ways. We're no longer rookies to the playoff business. Obviously, we've won more. We've got the highest winning percentage, and we've got the second most wins, and just the number of games that we've played already as an organization is really fantastic. And so we've had a lot of opportunity to really hone our game off the ice as well.
People are going to get their first chance to come to the building, and every year you guys unwrap something new. Give us a little tease of what people can expect from the in-arena experience on Saturday.
Yeah, no, and I love that part of the question, because, you know, first of all, there's going to be some foundational elements that I think our fans expect, right? And so when they come into the game, they're going to, of course, see the gold battle towel. Again, we're going to really lean into gold this year during the playoffs. It is the golden age. And so you'll see a lot more of that as we evolve forward. But one new exciting element that we're going to have, and we'll be unveiling it on Saturday during game three, is we're no longer behind the castle area. We're no longer going to have the Vegas Golden Knights helmet. We actually have a new element, which we introduced last year during the playoffs, more from a video and animation perspective, which was this dragon, which helped us slay the bad guy or the visiting team and helped us win the Stanley Cup. We now have a permanent structure. It's massive, and it's a giant dragon that will be mounted on the backside of the castle, and he'll help protect the realm as part of our playoff marketing. And he's going to have a lot of cool features. He'll have red eyes. He'll have cryo that'll come out of his out of his nostrils like fire, and it'll truly be a fire breathing dragon, and it'll be amazing how it'll add to our fan experience. So very excited about that. On top of everything else that we do to continue to evolve the story, right? A lot of what we do with our game presentation is storytelling. And, here we are again in season 7 and our 6th time in the playoffs. And again, it's another story that we'll be able to tell as part of our journey to hopefully our 2nd Stanley Cup.
You like to have that expression, feed the beast. You are literally feeding a beast now.
That's right. Well, he's a physical beast that's mounted in our arena. And people are going to be really blown away by it when they see it on Saturday.
So if I'm coming to the game on Saturday, you love to say come early, stay late. What's happening at T-Mobile Arena and around T-Mobile Arena on Saturday and on Monday and any other playoff games we have?
Well, again, for those fans that have been out and experienced that, the reason why we do promote it is there is so much to do. It's not just come in the building. There's so much that's happening in and around Toshiba Plaza, all of the different activations that we'll have. We are bringing back, for those that are interested, the ability to get your own Vegas Golden Knights tattoo. And so that's a really unique opportunity for those true fans that are out there. Also, just within the Park District, we've worked with some of our casino partners, both at New York and over at Park MGM. And so we have some new activations with them in and around that area. And again, just the energy and the vibrancy of playoff hockey, that in and of itself is exciting. And it's been 10 months since we had a home playoff game here, which, you know, going back to last June 13th when we won, it's amazing how fast time flies, by the way. But just that energy and excitement even before you come in to the arena. And then once you come in, all of the new graphics for the playoffs that we've got all of that installed. And again, just with all, you know, I mentioned the dragon, but all of the other new things that people see. And then each round, as we continue to evolve, and we believe we will, as we plan for success, we'll continue to add more and more and more, hopefully again on that journey to 16 victories.
All right. I have never been to a watch party. And we get all these emails, and sometimes we show them on the broadcast, and they look like a lot of fun. What goes on at a watch party?
Well, first and foremost, the game, right, which is important. But, you know, Vegas has so many great venues. Some of them are indoor venues. Some of them are outdoor venues. And what we've really tried to do over the years is make sure that each watch party has its own unique element. Yes, it's the Golden Knights. It's the playoffs. And the game is on, which is really exciting. But with these different venues, it allows us to create a fan experience that's different and unique from what we do at a Golden Knights game at the Fortress or at T-Mobile. But in these venues, what we do try to do is program some of what you would see at a Golden Knights game for fans. And so last night, for example, during game two, we were over at Lee's Family Forum, which is our facility in Henderson. And if you can imagine, you know, with the video screen, a lot of those great videos, a lot of that great music, all of the cast and characters that you would be accustomed to seeing at a Vegas Golden Knights game, they were at this event. And so, again, during TV timeouts, during intermissions, we're programming a lot of what you would normally see there, but in these cool and unique venues. Game one, we were out at Stadium Swim at Circa Casino. And again, just a tremendous atmosphere. You've got multiple screens and just the energy of being in an outdoor venue like Stadium Swim, along with being able to watch, again, a Golden Knights playoff game. It just makes for a great atmosphere. And so we're going to continue to move it around the Las Vegas Valley. And as we evolve throughout the playoffs, we may have multiple official watch parties happening in the market. Maybe one's in Summerlin and the other's in Henderson. Or maybe one's for 21 and over only and the other's for families. And so we really want to make sure that everybody who's a Knights fan has the opportunity to come to these events. And the best part of it all, they're free.
Well, the series switches to T-Mobile Arena, the arena that players voted the toughest to play in the National Hockey League and the NHLPA player pool, and also on the fifth best ice in the NHL. So really exciting to have the series move back to Vegas.
Yeah, we can't wait. I mean, this is, again, you work and grind all year long for the opportunity to get the chance to be in the playoffs. The guys did their part on the ice. We're one of 16 teams who have a chance to win the Stanley Cup. And we know what that looks like. And again, it's the funnest time of the year. It should be fun for our fans. I know it's fun for our players. And we just can't wait to get it rolling.
Thanks very much, Kerry.
Yeah, thanks, Kerry.
Some exciting things in the works for Game 3 and, of course, the future home games throughout the postseason for the Golden Knights. And you know that this organization is the best around when it comes to the in-arena entertainment and the fan experience. And I cannot wait to see what features lie around the Fortress on a Saturday night for the first home playoff game of this postseason. Taking a look around the league as the first round continues across the NHL playoffs, we'll start by recapping the two games that happened on Thursday night. First up was Game 3 between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers, with Florida taking a commanding 3-0 series lead after a 5-3 win in Tampa Bay. Matthew Tkachuk bookended the scoring for the Panthers and helped them come back from a 2-1 deficit to get the win. Tampa now faces its first 3-0 series deficit since the infamous series sweep at the hands of the Columbus Blue Jackets in 2019, a season after the Bolts won 62 games in the regular season. And now the Lightning have their backs firmly against the wall against last year's Eastern Conference champions. The other game Thursday night came from Long Island, where the Islanders hosted Game 3 against the Hurricanes. Just like Tampa, the Isles too were looking to avoid that 3-0 deficit, but the Hurricanes proved too much. Carolina got goals from Brent Burns, Dmitry Orlov, and Sebastian Aho, and hung on late to take down the Islanders 3-2 and grab the 3-0 series lead. So two series move to 3-0, and the Golden Knights will look to follow suit Saturday night with an opportunity to grab that three-game advantage against the Stars at the Fortress. Friday night's action features a jam-packed four-game schedule, with the other three Western Conference series all continuing. Before the West gets underway, though, it's Game 3 between the Rangers and the Capitals at 4 p.m. Pacific time from the nation's capital, with the Rangers holding a 2-0 series lead. To start the Western Conference action, the Predators take to their home ice in Nashville and welcome the Canucks at 4:30, with that series even at one game apiece. Later on at 7 o'clock, The series between the Jets and the Avalanche shifts to Colorado, with things knotted at 1. And at 7:30, the Kings welcome the Oilers to Southern California, with that series also even 1-1. Before we shift gears, I want to let you know ahead of Game 3 that it's 2 for tacos. When the Golden Knights score 2 goals in the same period at T-Mobile Arena, it's 2 free tacos for all fans in attendance using their ticket stub that same night and all next day at your local Taco Bell. Something to keep in mind for those planning on attending Game 3 Saturday night at T-Mobile Arena. To wrap up today's show, I want to acknowledge the passing of a very special person in the hockey world, broadcaster Bob Cole. Bob passed away on Wednesday at the age of 90, but his impact will continue to be felt for many years to come. Bob broadcasted hockey for 50 years and was the lead voice on CBC's Hockey Night in Canada for nearly 30 of those seasons, enough to earn him a spot in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Bob retired from broadcasting in 2019, just 2 years into the Golden Knights' existence, and combined with the fact that he was primarily seen and heard by a Canadian audience, I wanted to end the show today by sharing some of my favorite calls from Bob over his career. For a 50-year career, that is certainly quite the task, but hopefully the ones I've chosen will do his work justice. The first call comes from 1976, and while the moment itself isn't an actual play or something that happened on the ice, it shows Bob's ability to handle everything thrown his way. The Broad Street Bully-era Flyers hosted the Soviet Red Army team, and after no penalty was called on a hard hit on a Soviet player, the Soviets were ready to leave in protest.
They're going home! They're going home! Yeah, they're going home! Can you imagine? In 72, in Moscow, we stayed, and we took it all. And in 74, and now, the Philadelphia Flyers roam around a little bit, and they're going home.
The teams eventually did finish the game, with the Flyers winning 4-1. But Bob's call and the sheer emotion in the moment lives on as one of the more iconic in hockey history. Moving forward to a call of the great Mario Lemieux. Bob had the call when he scored perhaps the biggest goal of his career, coming in the 1991 Stanley Cup Final against the Minnesota North Stars.
Had to be good to stop Berezan. Here's Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux! Oh my heavens! What a goal! What a move! Lemieux! Oh baby!
Oh baby! The signature call from Bob Cole on one of the bigger goals of the decade for Mario Lemieux helping the Penguins defeat the North Stars in the Stanley Cup Final. Moving forward a couple of years, we go to 1993. Where I've picked a couple of calls from the 1993 playoffs. First, from the Toronto Maple Leafs, as Doug Gilmour had a double OT winner against the St. Louis Blues in Game 1 of the Division Finals, and then exactly 1 month later, in Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final, Montreal's Éric Desjardins evens the series against the Kings with an overtime goal of his own.
Gilmour back in the net, Andrejuk in front with Borshevsky.
Short side, here is again, scores, Desjardins, and the Canadiens win in overtime, his third goal of the game, and the series is a brand new one.
The Canadiens, of course, went on to win that series and capture the Stanley Cup, marking the last time a team from north of the border did so. Moving forward to 1997, we go to the first round of the postseason. The Dallas Stars and the Edmonton Oilers locked in a tight battle that goes to overtime in Game 7, where Edmonton's Todd Marchand becomes the hero.
They're going to try here, rushing the center and down the wing. It is Marchand! Scores! Marchand! Scores! And the Edmonton Oilers are going to move on! The Dallas Stars have been eliminated!
The final call I'd like to share from Bob comes during international play. Team Canada, having endured a 50-year wait between Olympic gold and ice hockey, had their moment to shine in 2002, with Bob's call of Joe Sakic's gold medal ceiling goal living on for our friends north of the border.
Folks, believe me, they're trying. Through center. Ginla missed a clearing chance. Housley dropped it back. Canada trying to hang on and get a break. It's going to be a break. It is Joe Sakic scores. Gio Sakic scores. And that makes it 5-2 Canada. Surely that's got to be it.
Simply one of the best to ever do it. And while we'll certainly miss Bob, we don't have to miss the great work that he put in over a 50-year broadcasting career, as all those memories live on in our hearts and minds. A hat tip to Sean McIndoe of The Athletic and Michael Trakos of The Hockey News as they compiled a good deal of those calls in articles for their respective outlets. And a great showing of support across the NHL as teams on social media shared some of their best moments as told by Bob Cole. Thanks as always for tuning in to VGK today. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform as we'll be back every day throughout the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs with new episodes. Stay tuned for tomorrow as Darren Millard joins the show to get us set for Game 3. Justin Russo signing off for VGK Today, presented by BetMGM.